Hello, and welcome to Muskoka Unlimited on 88.7 FM, The Bay. I'm Jenny Cressman, and I'm enjoying hosting this show. It is about interesting people doing interesting things, and I always have an interesting chat. And today, I'm going to be chatting with James Grant, also known as Jim, also known as the Oxtongue Lake Baker to this community, but he wears other hats elsewhere. So let's just get started right away. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jenny. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're welcome. And it's very nice to finally see you in person. I've been following you on Facebook and looking at all your lovely loaves. Yeah, he sent me a photo in advance of this interview and called it bread porn. Oh, yeah, baby. So tell us a little bit about how you got into bread making and what you're doing in Oxtongue Lake.
Oh, my goodness. As far as how I started as a baker, we have to zip ourselves back into the 1970s when I had graduated from undergraduate school, and I got a job as a dishwasher in a bakery in Northampton, Massachusetts. And I kept my eyes open. I was watching the pastry chef and the bread baker, the pretzel maker. This was it was a European style bakery.
Okay.
And I found myself filing away what they were doing while I was scrubbing pots. And eventually, I had my big break when the pastry chef asked me if I would glaze some pastries, which I did do, and as soon as I picked up a brush and dipped it in strawberry jam and started lathering it over the Danish, I was sold.
You were hooked.
I was. So I've had baking jobs on and off over the years, while I also was on and off completing graduate work in music, and in the 80s. The early 80s, I had a wonderful baking job in Brattleboro, Vermont, working for a baker named Jeffrey Hamelman, who ended up writing a fantastic bread book that won the James Beard first recipe book competition or some such thing. Anyway, I was working with Jeffrey, and then I visited a friend who was doing his doctorate at Cornell in music. And I was made an offer I couldn't refuse by his professor there, and fell down the rabbit hole of academe for 30 some years. And there wasn't.
It was a big hole.
And there wasn't one day during that time that I didn't want to have an apron on. So eventually I made my way up here, and the next thing I know, I'm renting space at Lobo's out on Highway 60.
Right, close to Algonquin Park.
Yes, yeah, and I rented their pizza kitchen,
bought
a convection pastry oven, and started making pastries. The long and short...
Just for fun.
And, I was... it was something that I'd been missing so much in my life. Mm-hmm. I've been very grateful for the music work that I've had over the years as a composer, but the baking is, which is very similar in many ways, offers me a
How is it similar? I was wondering where the intersection would come into play with the two themes in your life.
I would say in the simplest of terms, both composing and baking, one is pulling together raw ingredients and combining them in certain ways, putting them under different processes, and eventually using craft and creativity and intuition out comes something that nourishes people.
Wonderful.
As I'm fond of saying, though, it takes a lot longer to bake a symphony than it does to compose a loaf of bread.
Okay. And what would be the glaze for a symphony?
Oh dear, I won't even venture into that. That's cross contamination, I think, at that point.
Okay. Well, I can see how the two would be similar in that vein.
Although I want to backtrack on that for a moment. I was just thinking something that composers do, especially with orchestral music, mm-hmm. is after the piece is completed. Composers often go back in. I will say that I go back into the piece,
okay.
and in terms of glaze, I might be thinking of how where and how to apply little halos of sound that are going to accentuate the underlying
note of a flute here, a little bit of a viola there,
or a little pluck of the harp,
or a bit of a tuba maybe,
gently. So it really is adding a layer of gentle accentuation to something that has happened, which I believe is pretty much the intent with lots of pastries.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you're talking about pastries and bread. Is there a favorite thing that you just absolutely adore baking?
I'll be evasive and I'll say whatever it is that I'm baking is the thing I want to be baking. That said, sourdough breads are fascinating to me because they are so alive and they take several days to make.
Uh-huh.
There are so many variables involved, from ingredients to the temperature in the room, to how much bulk fermentation, their time there is for the dough, how live the sourdough culture is that you've prepared from the day before that sits out overnight and.
Yeah.
You come in the morning, and I always greet it warmly. Look at it and say, "Good morning."
Hello,
look
Alice.
I say, "Look at you." So
it bubbles back at you.
It does. It does. It's a lovely experience. So I would have to say that sourdough breads, specifically, though any type of bread. I love making French breads and the craft of baguettes is still somewhat elusive to me. I'm working on it.
Uh-huh.
But the whole concept of putting together these ingredients and over the course of, say, 6 hours from the beginning the mix of the dough to when it comes out of the oven, and it's a remarkable privilege.
And then you can just sit back and savor it while you listen to a piece of music you've written.
To be honest, I rarely listen to the music that I write.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's true.
Wow.
I already know how it goes. So.
Okay, so you're a big fan of the Surprise Symphony then, are you?
I know the punchline, yes.
Well, okay, so music, like the bread, gets you up at 4:30 in the morning.
I've been getting up early ever since I had that first job as a dishwasher in the bakery. That was my first experience of getting up way early in the morning.
Okay.
And I just loved it. I loved everything about it, and I still do.
And that's your creative time.
It truly is.
Okay.
The everything feels different. The energy is very different before dawn.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of whether I have a baking day ahead of me or a studio day ahead of me, my tendency is to get up at 4:30. I mean, I don't set an alarm. If I wake up at 4:30 and I'm tired, I'll stay in bed another 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay. So you're probably going to bed early at the
end. Yeah. I tend to go to bed 7:30 or 8.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, it makes sense. So what musical projects are you working on right now? Let's just get started in that. You can give us a little teaser, and then in a minute or two, we'll go away for a commercial break and come back.
Sure. I've just finished a major work last winter that was a commission from a group in Florida, Choral Artists of Sarasota, for an environment-themed cantata, which is a choral work. And it's scored for baritone solo, 6-part mixed chorus, and youth chorus, and chamber orchestra. This version is.
Well, a lot of interesting ingredients.
Yes, a lot of interesting ingredients. And that was premiered last April in Florida. Mm-hmm. And this winter, I'm going to be busy making two other versions of the accompaniment, one for full orchestra, big orchestra, to accommodate larger symphonic choruses.
Okay.
And then a small chamber ensemble version to accommodate smaller choral groups in smaller spaces.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many people, roughly in total, would have been involved in that production in Sarasota?
In Sarasota, let's see, there were perhaps 36 singers in the chorus, maybe 40.
Okay.
20 young people in the youth chorus, the baritone soloist. The chamber orchestra, I believe, was relatively small, around 20 players, I believe, plus the conductor.
Okay.
So those were the people on stage.
Yeah.
Oh, and two handbell ringers, and yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay. Well, I'll let everybody else do the math on their own. And on that note, we're going to stop for a commercial break and be back momentarily with James Grant.